Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Mixed Motive Instruction Post-Decision Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On Thursday, June 18, 2009, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Gross v. FBL Financial Services. In this case, the court granted cert to consider what kind of evidence a plaintiff must present to obtain a mixed motive instruction in a case under the Age Discrimination in Employment Act, or ADEA. In a 5-4 decision delivered by Justice Thomas, the court held that the ADEA does not authorize a mixed motives age discrimination claim. Rather, the plaintiff must show, by a preponderance of the evidence, that age was the but-for cause of the challenged adverse employment action. To discuss this decision, we bring back, from our post-argument podcast on this case, Jones Day attorney Shai Dvoretsky. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Dvoretsky.
On June 18th, the Supreme Court held in a 5-4 opinion that in order for a plaintiff to establish a disparate treatment claim under the Age Discrimination in Employment Act, the ADEA, the plaintiff must prove by a preponderance of the evidence that age was the but-for cause of the adverse employment action being challenged. Citing the material difference between Title VII and the ADEA with respect to burdens of persuasion, the court declined to apply the burden-shifting analysis used in mixed motive Title VII cases to ADEA claims. The case involved Jack Gross, an employee who in 2003 was 54 years old. At that time, as part of a company reorganization, Gross was reassigned to another position. Although his pay and benefits were unchanged, Gross considered the reassignment to be a demotion, and he filed an age discrimination suit. At the conclusion of the trial, the district court instructed the jury that it should find for Gross if he proved that FBL demoted him and that his age was a motivating factor in the decision to demote him, that is, if age played a part in the decision. The court also instructed the jury that it should find for FBL if FBL carried its burden of proving that it would have made the decision to demote Gross regardless of his age. The jury found in favor of Gross, and the Eighth Circuit reversed. The Eighth Circuit held that the jury was improperly instructed pursuant to a Supreme Court case called Price Waterhouse v. Hopkins, which was decided under Title VII. Price Waterhouse held, in a plurality opinion, that under Title VII, if the plaintiff shows that discrimination was a motivating or substantial factor in the employer's action, the burden of persuasion should shift to the employer to show that it would have taken the same action regardless of that impermissible consideration. Furthermore, under Justice O'Connor's opinion in Price Waterhouse, she concurred separately, the plaintiff has to present direct evidence that discrimination was a motivating factor in order to obtain that burden-shifting instruction. The Supreme Court granted cert to decide whether or not a plaintiff has to show direct evidence of discrimination in order to obtain a mixed motive instruction in an ADEA case. The court did not end up addressing that question because it first determined that the burden of persuasion never shifts to employers in ADEA cases. The court reasoned that Title VII cases don't control its analysis of ADEA claims because of a material difference between the text of the two statutes. The ADEA, unlike Title VII, doesn't have a statutory provision that allows a plaintiff to establish discrimination by showing that discrimination was merely a motivating factor. In addition, when Congress amended Title VII to add the relevant provisions, it didn't add the same provisions to the ADEA, even though it amended the ADEA at the same time in other ways. Therefore, the court held that Price Waterhouse, which was decided under Title VII, didn't apply to the ADEA at all. Focusing on the text of the ADEA as an original matter, the court held that the statute does not authorize mixed motive age discrimination claims. The statute provides that it, quote, shall be unlawful for an employer to fail or refuse to hire or to discharge any individual or otherwise discriminate against any individual with respect to his compensation, terms, conditions, or privileges of employment because of such individual's age. That because of language was the focus of the court's opinion. The court reasoned that because of means that age must be the reason that the employer acted. Therefore, a plaintiff has to prove that age was the but-for cause of the employer's adverse decision in order to establish a disparate treatment claim. The burden of proving that age was a but-for cause for the employment decision stays with the plaintiff at all times. The court finally also noted that the standard from Price Waterhouse had been difficult and confusing for lower courts to apply, and that it wouldn't make sense to expand it to the ADEA in this context. Justice Stevens and Justice Breyer each wrote dissenting opinions. In Justice Stevens's view, the court should have limited itself to the question on which cert was granted, namely whether direct evidence of discrimination is required in order to obtain a mixed motive instruction in an ADEA case. He would have held that direct evidence of discrimination is not required in an ADEA case, and that Price Waterhouse does control the interpretation of the ADEA. Justice Breyer dissented separately to argue that but-for causation does not make sense as the standard in an ADEA case. In his view, while but-for causation is appropriate in a tort context, where scientific evidence or other objective evidence can make the standard easier to apply, it's very difficult to know in an employment case, which involves an employer's motivations, what the but-for cause of discrimination is, and that the employer should bear the burden of untangling the different motivations that may go through a decision-maker's mind. The Gross decision has several interesting implications. First of all, age discrimination cases are always challenging for juries and judges alike because, as the Supreme Court has noted in Smith v. City of Jackson, age, unlike race or other classifications protected by Title VII, not uncommonly has relevance to an individual's capacity to engage in certain types of employment. Therefore, the Supreme Court and lower courts have noted that age, among other things, may affect or be correlated with productivity, with certain job-related skills, such as familiarity with computers and technology, with mobility, and with willingness to make voluntary job changes, all of which are legitimate criteria on which employers can base decisions. The Gross decision effectively places the burden on plaintiffs to disentangle impermissible age-based considerations from these other permissible considerations that may be correlated with age. Second of all, in the wake of the Gross decision, it's not clear whether the Price Waterhouse mixed motive framework applies to any other statutes. Courts have applied that framework, for example, in retaliation claims brought under Title VII, under the Family and Medical Leave Act, and under the Fair Labor Standards Act. And lower courts will have to decide now in the wake of Gross whether to continue to apply that framework or not. Third of all, numerous interest groups have already called for Congress to overrule the Gross decision, as Congress did with the Price Waterhouse decision under Title VII shortly after that case came down, and recently with the Ledbetter bill that overruled the Goodyear versus Ledbetter decision concerning the limitations period for pay discrimination claims. So Gross may be short-lived if Congress in fact overrules it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video from past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.